We were tangled up in each other's tow lines, crossed the finish line at the same time, had an amazing race, and we were hooked from that point. It was like, yes, this is a sport for us. Not only did we do well at it, but we just had fun doing it with each other. And yeah, that whole camaraderie and mixing with the other teams. And so, yeah, after that, the following year, we kind of went full on into Otello racing, and we entered pretty much all of the sprint races. So yeah, that's kind of where we started out. And we're kind of from a short course triathlon background. We did a lot of sort of shorter distances. We never done a full Ironman. So we were a little bit on the back foot and apprehensive about ever doing a World Series race.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a Swim Run podcast. I'm Chip.
I'm Chris, and this is episode 303 of the show. We are, yes, we are flying across the pond to speak with one of the best UK teams out there, Piers and Claire Valence from basically Team Valence Precision Fuel and Hydration. So we met at Kona at the...
Wow.
Kona. Oh, you know why I'm thinking Kona? Because PFH was just a Kona, and a PFH athlete won the Women's Ironman World Championship. So that's where that thought was going. We met them at the Swimmer World Championship.
Kona, our Kona. Run, yes.
Our Kona.
That's fair.
A few years ago, and just hit it off. They're wearing PFH stuff. Started chatting them up. Just awesome people. So when we saw them at this year's Otello, we're like, hey, it's time. We got to get you guys on the show.
A proper chin wag. And they had a great day at Utsala, and we caught them kind of right after they finished, just right around the 9-hour mark. Super impressive performance, and they had a lot to say. We had a lot to ask them and talk to them. We're like, well, let's time out on this, and let's get you on the show. But really glad to have them on for good old-fashioned chin wag. We don't have enough UK folks on the show for chin wags.
I know.
You know, we can correct this wrong at any time we choose.
we'll work on
starting right now.
Starting right now. But before we get to that conversation, Chipper, I think we should do a training update, because we're both kind of training. We're training right now for different events. So so Chipper's training for CIM, California National Marathon, Classic
Sacramento
Road Marathon, SAC. You've done it before. It was your first marathon.
It was my second marathon, but my marathon PR in December. You have NYC, which is your fourth.
It's my third NYC
time coming up.
Yeah.
So NYC is a week before Otello Austin, which we are also racing. So we're kind of in this.
Yeah, we're kind of like training through it, right?
We're kind of doing marathon training, but keep swimming is sort of what it feels like a little bit. Let's chat about some specific things that we're doing, kind of aiming our gaze through Otello Austin for myself, and then you. You're not looking to Otello Austin quite yet. You're like, New York is right there. But one thing that we both consciously adjusted our training is, like, you know, we preach trails, hit the hills all the time. Here, it's like we kind of need to get some pounding on our legs for the roads. So we're out on the roads and just kind of logging the miles on the roads for now.
Right. And frankly, not different than the advice that we always give is, like, you need to train for the event that's in front of you. So if you're doing a swim run that's like super hilly, well, obviously, you know what you should be doing there. Running a road marathon, well, you obviously know what you should be doing there, which is just make sure you've kind of, as you mentioned, Chipper, like, get that the adaptation of the road running.
Yeah, absolutely. And it will definitely translate well to Austin. It is, you know, it's not the most technical trails out there. There is some road sections. So, you know, feeling like it's going to translate well. And I have kind of dialed my swimming back a little bit. We know there will be plenty of swimming in Otello Austin with the water levels up so high. So probably a little bit more on the swimming there. But I think for us, Otello, Colorado, you know, now just a few weeks in the rearview mirror was kind of a good confidence booster. Like, hey, yeah, we're not have the swim volume or the swim fitness of like an Otello build, but, you know, we can get in there. We can get shit done. We can handle the business. So we're trusting the endurance bank for some of the swim stuff since the swim volume's just we're trading more for a little bit more road miles.
Yes, our swim run self efficacy is very high, very 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 high. Yeah, same. So I think we've both been doing more road running, still trying to swim 2 to 3 times a week just because that's something that just continue for the rest of our lives basically with breaks. But you know, for the most part, nothing wrong, literally nothing wrong with swimming three times a week for your overall fitness. Yeah. And then kind of like ramping up the mileage. I feel like I've been undercooked all year. So I'm just embracing it that I'm going to go into New York City Marathon undercooked and just basically going to train through it. So just keep building up the volume. And then, you know, a week from Sunday, when this show airs, we'll be there. New York City, baby. Nice. My old town.
And I know it's a great time to deploy some fueling strategy. Obviously, can't be talking about Precision Fuel and Hydration. They've been a huge supporter of us. They're actually the title fuel sponsor for the CIM marathons. I'm getting lucky with another home race that I'm going to get a grab some PFH 30s and caffeine gels.
And seriously, can we just have some real talk real quick? Like,
you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous. I'm rooting for you, but some real talk, like, this marathon is just going to be so different. I mean, you haven't ran a marathon in years, right? So different because I feel like you and me both, like, just so much wiser about the nutrition piece.
And that was something, you know, back to the training update, I had kind of my first, you know, and this is something that Coach Liz and I kind of talked about is how we're going to evolve things. But what I kind of feel is like a first true, you know, hey, I had a 3x2 miles at marathon pace kind of session, like a, you know, kind of your traditional like long run. And I use that as like a dress rehearsal. Okay, I know I want to take a soft flask with me. I know I want to hit 90 grams of carbs and get some caffeine going and test out some stuff. So this is a really good opportunity to figure out how all that's going to work out.
Just running with like a 90 in each hand.
3 90s, I think, will be my plan and a couple caffeine gels. And that should do the trick.
It's a lot of carbs.
It's a lot.
But I'm curious to see. I feel like it's just going to be a very different type of race because you're just going to be so much smarter out there.
Yeah, I am excited. The last time I ran this race was about 10 years ago. So 10 years younger. But to your point, I would say maybe I probably took 2 gels, like 2 goos was probably all I had there. And, you know, kind of your classic marathon situation. It's all hanging together, mile 18, and then, you know, it just all just blows up appropriately through the rest of it and just hang on. So I'm hoping that I can avoid some of that or at least have some fueling to kind of power that through, but I'm looking forward to it. And you yourself, like we always talk about, you're being realistic about your goal setting and some of the stuff that we even talked about in last week. You know, you're not like, oh, I'm going to go blast a PR out there. But you are looking to just kind of enjoy the experience and basically get a tour of New York.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be an interesting race. I talked with my coaching consultant, Mario. Yes. And when we were talking about goals, it was really just like a vibe goal more than anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm like the secret goal for all this stuff is I'm also not trying to be out there all day. So trying to get it started and get it ended as quickly as I feel like I can intelligently. And so it's mostly vibe goals and sort of values goals kind of going in and looking forward to it. I mean, it's my old hometown, third time running it. So. Yeah,
nice. And then you'll have a good, you know, you can have a little bit of you'll roll right into taper recovery/ taper week, and then you'll be hitting.
Yeah, I'll be swim like Tuesday, Thursday, do a lot of walking.
You'll be good to time. Go.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be good to go. And I think we're going to, you know, talking with Coach Liz, Attila Austin, at least for myself, is like, hey, there's a solid 3 to 4 hour day on the legs out there. Mm-hmm. So a good opportunity to work in some of the more marathon type stuff there. But looking forward to that, not just the awesome race, but obviously the awesome community that's out there at the
stop offices. At the Swim Run Circus, people.
For the 2025, it's the last date of tour.
And, you know, if you're waiting to the last minute, it's not your time just yet, but if you're thinking about it, use the code LTBZ10.
LTBZ10.
10% off registration, last race of the year. Make it out. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, they got 3 distances as usual under the Attila branding. So you have your experience, your sprint, and then your World Series distance there. So head on over to AttilaSwimrun.com and LTBZ10 to save 10% off your registration. Mm-hmm. This is your last opportunity to bank points. I know there's a few point ranking. There's like the elite category that Attila announced a bit ago there. And this is also, if you're racing the World Series distance, a chance to earn some points for submitting into the Attila, the Swim Run World Championship, which is a goal that we have for next year. So it's going to be a good time for us to stack points.
Yeah. And we'll, there's this couple that we're about to share an interview with who we'll probably see them there because they can't stay away from that race because they love it as much as we do. And we're talking, of course, about Piers and Claire. So should we just get right to this conversation?
Yeah, let's kick it on over there. A proper chin wag, catching up their endurance journey. Obviously, you know, we had to find out how they get better precision fuel and hydration swag than us. So Andy Blow is going to get an email from us right after this asking for some cool shirts.
We need some swag some updates.
But yeah, let's kick it over. Let's sit down for a proper chin wag over some tea and biscuits.
Sure, sure. But also, swim runners are just like the greatest humans.
Yeah.
They're the best.
They're great.
They're so great.
Time for the chin wag.
Very excited to welcome to the show Team Balance Precision Fuel and Hydration, Blair and Pierce. How are you guys?
We are actually a little bit tired. We came back from Ortilla, Ortilla Cannes on the weekend and our flight was delayed. So we arrived back in the UK at 5 a.m. Monday morning and went straight to work, missing the night's sleep. So we're still on catch up.
We certainly want to hear how that race went. That race is extremely high on our bucket list. But before we get to that, we've known you guys now for several years, interacted with you at World Champs, always got along. You guys always fly in the flag for Precision Fuel and Hydration. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your sort of swimming history, how you guys found the sport and all that?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it probably goes back to sort of 2017, 2018, around then when we first discovered the sport. Kind of bit by accident, just on a weekend trip where we went to Stockholm for a city break. And then we were like, oh, we could explore, go out to these islands and go and have a look, see what's going on. And we actually went out to Utah and we saw the World Series race actually happening. And we were just there as tourists. It was like, what is this? And we were in the sort of triathlon days. We were like, well, this looks really fun. This looks excellent. We could have a go at this. I went back home and looked it up and was like, right, we need to have a go. Found there wasn't really many races in the UK at the time. We found a race, entered it, and we ended up winning. It was a joint first with another team where we were tangled up in each other's tow lines, crossed the finish line at the same time, had an amazing race, and we were hooked from that point. It was like, yes, this is a sport for us. Not only did we do well at it, but we just had fun doing it with each other. And yeah, that whole camaraderie and mixing with the other teams. And so yeah, after that, the following year, we kind of went full on into Ortilla racing and we entered pretty much all of the sprint races. So yeah, that's kind of where we started out. And we're kind of from a short course triathlon background. We did a lot of sort of shorter distances. We never done a full Ironman. Any sort of long course or endurance racing is beyond us. So we were a little bit on the back foot and apprehensive about ever doing a World Series race. So we just went for the sprints to start with. That was kind of our introduction. And then, yeah, we did really well in the sprint races. And I think it was, Michael Lemmel spotted us and was just like, yeah, couldn't believe how well we were doing and said when we turned up at Scilly, the Isles of Scilly, to do the sprint race here, he was like, right, you're going to win this. And we were like, really? We didn't believe in ourselves and didn't think that would be possible, but he was right, we did, and we won it. And then from that point on, we actually got a place or a director's choice place in the Ortilla World Championships. We'd never done a long course race before that, and we were like, wow, this is just too far. It's sort of blowing our mind. For people out there that are from that sort of short distance background and just would never consider doing the longer stuff, it is possible. And even just like this weekend, we were a bit blasé about doing Cannes, which it's like the end of the season. We were like, weren't sure whether to do it or not. But 5-hour race now just seems like relatively normal. It's like, yeah, I think we can do this on the fitness we've got. We'll just get round and have fun. But because of the breaks and having those the swims, it means you can just, you know, do the longer, you know, stay out there for 5 hours, and it is possible. So kind of that's our background on how we went from sort of early days to sprint to straight into the World Champs. But then sort of on from that, we've just done a load of other World Series races and then obviously a lot of races in the UK, which is where it's sort of built and grown, and there's lots of choice here now, which is pretty cool.
I love that origin story. You happened upon that you triathletes as well, so you're already athletically minded, but you were just going out from a tourist perspective just to check out the islands. You had no idea that the Uto race, the final 15, was happening. Wow.
Yeah.
It actually came because I was a swimmer. So I'd done national swimming and was just head in the water swimmer. It was easy for me. And, you know, growing up, you were more of a runner.
Yeah.
And when we got together, you know, we were in university days, probably pre-university. It was like, well, I want to go swimming and you want to go running. So I had to swim and he had to run. And that's really where triathlon started, wasn't it? We kind of, because we did each other's sports. And then we did the age group triathlon actually in Edmonton and Chicago. And, you know, we're getting on the podium. And then it was like, well, triathlon is fun, but it's really expensive. It's quite impersonal. And the courses just aim for this buoy. Is that how you say it in American? The buoy.
Yeah.
Just swim around the buoy and then get on the bike and swim around the next marker. And the same with, bike around the next marker and then you run. And we got a bit stale with it. And then swim run came and it was a complete opposite. It was friendship, it was support, it was adventure, it was not looking at data and numbers. It was just so refreshing in every sense. And it still is. We absolutely love immersing ourselves into the swim run bubble. And I think it's in that infancy stages, especially in the UK, where everyone knows everyone and everyone just wants to help everyone and give it a go. It's not a matter of, oh, what was your 10K time and achieving this. It's that goes out the window. It's just all about, did you see this or did you see that? Or like in Cannes, did you see swim over the statues, which is more important than what the end race result was.
You know, it's funny you articulate it like that, because that's something we've heard so much in the 5 years that we've been doing the podcast, which is like, I was doing this thing, it's so formulaic, it's so scripted, and here's swim run, where it's almost like a breath of fresh air, you get to do it with someone, and the places it takes you, every race is unique, every race has its own thing, it's hard to compare apples to apples, there isn't like a standard short sprint or Olympic distance or half iron or whatever. And for a certain personality, which it sounds like when you guys saw it, you were drawn to it. For a certain personality, it's kind of like, this is what I've been missing. Like, this is what I've been looking for. It's again, it's so funny that we've heard the story so many times. And for you guys, it's very similar. I'm curious though, when you guys started, you know, when Michael Mell was like, hey man, you guys got to start doing World Series. It's like, you guys really got to step it up here. Yeah. Did you change your training or just explain kind of like how your training has evolved from sort of the sprint stuff to the longer stuff?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I actually think, of course, the training is important, but I think your mindset is more important. And I think it goes back to the same mindset people have coming from a pool swimming background to open water swimming background. And you freak out in open water because you don't know what's beneath you, or it's too cold, or the waves or the current might get you if you're in the ocean or the sea. And actually, when you're able to kind of block that out, it's not that different. You can do it. It's your mind that's blocking. And for me particularly, who had never even done a half marathon, let alone a marathon or a half Ironman or an Ironman, looking back, it was my mindset that was holding me back rather than actually being able to do it. But the main difference was just putting in some mileage, longer runs and longer swim runs, I would say. So my mileage hadn't really been much, but over an hour and a half a session when we were doing the sprints. But when you move up to the World Series, you know, on the weekend, the shorter stuff would be 2 hours. And now leading up to the Worlds, I think our longer sessions were kind of the 4+ hours, where you just go out and do your swim run and enjoy the scenery. And we've been lucky that when we go on our holidays tend to go to places where we can swim run. So this year we went to Lake Geneva, and obviously Lake Geneva's massive. So it's dead easy just to swim run all the way around Lake Geneva and enjoy your surroundings.
Yeah.
Just a bit more mileage, adding the hours in.
I think you can do that through the races as well. We try and pick out some key races, especially if you're building to the World Champs in Sweden. Then we'll try and pick out some, we need to do a long race. That will be our main training session, if anything, to get us to a 5 or 6 hour mark. And then we know we can probably just blag the rest of it or try and stay and do the long course and actually finish it.
But I think that's true, actually. The sprint races, you would actually go eyeballs out and you go as hard as you can. Actually, when we were leading up to the World Championships, all the races we did, none of them we really raced. They were all training. So actually, we never actually got to the point where we were so tired we couldn't recover and continue training. So in that sense, it was easier because you never actually hurt through the races. Yeah. Apart from the World Champs, which is never easy. And that hurts regardless.
Yeah.
Right. No, I love that. I love like the 5-hour training days with aid station support is basically what you're doing.
Yeah, it's the best way. But yeah, I think otherwise it's just putting in a few sort of longer runs, but we still keep it, still putting in some tempo runs and stuff like that to help keep the fitness there. And swimming wise, for me personally, I've had to up my swimming. Claire's a natural swimmer, so she doesn't probably do more than about 1 or 2 sessions a week, whereas I need to double that to be able to be on her level. So yeah, for me, it's just up in the swimming. I've had to do up to maybe sort of 10K on some weeks of swimming. And yeah.
I was worried this year though, because we'd earmarked Tamaga as our long race, and we'd earmarked a Mad Hatter UK race as a long race for us. Both of those should have been 5-hour races and both were canceled. So when we went into the Worlds, we actually hadn't done a 5-hour race or a session, had we? And I was worried about that. And actually, it wasn't, because we'd done, you know, capped it at 4 hours and perhaps had more frequency at that. Actually, the body was more adjusted than just doing one-off longer races and longer recovery. So I think this year, the build-up inadvertently for the World Champs was better and worked well for us.
Yeah, sometimes those kind of schedule curveballs that you get thrown end up fitting you, or, you know, once you're kind of past that, oh, I'm bummed that you missed the race. Oh, actually, maybe it was good you got a little bit more rest, or you were able to kind of keep on your training block there. I'm curious, from like a team perspective, were you all training partners in your triathlon days? And then it became, hey, we can both train for the same race, or how is your training from triathlon to Swirma now? Have you guys adjusted now that you can actually team up and be more tactical?
Yeah, I think it does change a bit in terms of work around our normal day jobs. We don't train as much together. When we go for a swim set, we'll go for a swim set together, and Claire will normally come up with a swimming set. If we go for a run, then I'll probably come up with a run set for us to do. Generally, it'll be the weekends is when we'll do a big session together. During the week, we'll try and fit in whatever time we can and just do our own thing sometimes. Or if you can hook up and do a swim set together, then it makes sense. And it's, yeah, more fun. But yeah, I think it's changed a bit over the years, just incorporating a swim run to making sure that we do that training together rather than just going out for a long run on your own somewhere. We just try and get in a decent swim run together. That practice, the transition practice, is important, especially during the summer season. We'll factor that in.
We're lucky in the UK, is Chris Goodfellow and Alan Scott. When the longer sessions come in, it's quite nice to pair up and sync with those guys, and we actually all go out together, which is, you know, the group camaraderie thing is fun with training, isn't it? But it's always interesting when you go through the winter, come into the spring, and then it's like, oh God, I've got to remember my goggles and pool boy and tether and which way round am I doing things. And, you know, Piers can get quite frustrated when I'm behind and I get it all wrong and I'm faffing. And he's like, not really got anything to sort, just like run and jump in.
That's too funny. Yeah, it's always like, we call it like, you have to do like a rust buster just to remember what you're, you know, like, what do I do with my hands, you know, kind of thing. You know, I wanted to ask you guys, so the first time we saw you guys was at World Champs in, what year was it, Chipper, 2023, 2022?
We were there
for years. And we saw you guys because you were totally, you know, bedazzled with Precision Fuel and hydration stuff. We were like, hey, we love those guys. So, you know, and that's basically what started the conversation, was like, hey, you guys are wearing like the special drip, as the kids say over here. So how did you guys get connected with them? I mean, this is the segment of the show where we're just going to like fanboy and fangirl PFH, our favorite company. But yeah, curious how you guys got connected with them.
Is it JP?
I think it is mostly, from the UK races, and particularly because we did the Isles of Scilly a couple of times as well, and racing against Andy and JP and Johnny, because, they always used it as a bit of a Precision Fuel and Hydration sort of team day out, and they bring the whole tour over and do different races. And, especially they're from, like, the south of England, so we'd be in, like, the Roseland or the south coast where the Mad Hatter do their events. And so, we basically just racing against them and being head-to-head. And then, Andy sort of taking us under the wing and sort of saying, you guys are pretty good and, you know, I want you to sort of race with the brand. And that'd be, and we were like, we'd be honoured.
We love their product.
And we use their stuff a lot. So it works out for us. Yeah, they've obviously moved on to bigger and better things, but we're happy to still keep the swim run team going.
Well, you know, they really have moved on to bigger and better things. They're sponsoring the World Champ, Ironman World Champs, Iron all Man sorts of stuff. But what I do love is they really love swim run. And Andy, I'm sure there's a prime directive somewhere in there is do not neglect this super niche sport. He's done the World Champs. He knows what's going on. In fact, before Catalina, I was like, hey, Andy, we're taking over like the Attila feed. Can you send us like a short video on fueling for each distance?
Done.
10 hours later, it was like, here's some highly polished videos of just like, you know, because he did that race. So he was like, here's the thing, World Series, it's a beast. Yeah. It was so great that like that they truly love swim run and have just been supportive since, you know, as long as we've been in the sport, they've been all about it. But yeah, what is your favorite? So let's get a little tactical here. Like, what products are the ones you guys, because I know Chipper, he loves like the 90 gels and things like that. Like, how do you guys kind of use their products during racing?
So we're really lucky. And because swim run, as you say, are big advocates of swim run. And in the UK, they sponsor the Askina's Mustard events. And they actually, I think they sponsor all of the UK events, which is great because it's all on course as well. But I would say if there was one thing I could not go without for the World Championships, it would be the salt capsules that you can just take and swallow. They have literally saved us probably every World Champs. They are go-to for the long.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my absolute favourite product.
Yeah, and I think the other ones, I mean, the main ones we use are the 1500 capsules, they say, for putting those in the drink, in the bottles. Yep. Yeah, if it's a longer event, then I might even put two into one bottle or whatever. I go for that sort of higher concentration and then just try and get some other liquid in later on. The 90 gels I love. I use probably more of those. But the chews and the chew bars, I did actually have the chew bars in this World Champs as well. And I found that's less weight to carry. So you get more bang for your buck. There's, yeah, just a little bit smaller. And so you can get more in your pocket. So yeah, I had a mixture of those. But yeah, we love those for just even going out for a hike or whatever. The chews and stuff are brilliant.
The 90s are particularly good because in swim run, especially in Sweden, sometimes the courses can get a bit technical. So if you've opened a whole gel and suddenly you can't take the whole gel because it's got technical, or suddenly a transition's come that you're not expecting, you'd be in trouble. Whereas the 90s are just easy. You can take one glug out of it or three glugs or however much you want or need, whatever time frame you've got, just put the cap back on and stuff it back down. So I think for those races, the 90s are particularly good.
I agree. That's with you. Interesting. I got like a bandolier. I roll like five deep every race. I know Chris and I, you know, Precision Fuel and Hydration really go above and beyond with their content. And really, I mean, obviously, yes, they're trying to sell gels, but they really are trying to educate everyone to help them improve their fueling and race performance. And I know Chris and I, that was such a massive unlock for us. And it really helped us kind of race and be a race where we really felt like we could be and kind of get the most out of ourselves. Did you guys have a similar kind of experience once you started kind of understanding how many grams per hour and some of the sodium loss that you're having? Did you see that big level up experience?
Yeah, completely. And I think, I mean, I did sports science at uni, so I had some background in that. But even what Precision Hydration have done now and actually labeling the stuff that it's a 30 or a 60 or a 90, I think really helps you work out what you need to take over an hour. And I think as science has evolved, I think we've all underestimated, you know, if you'd asked me this 4 years ago, and I've kind of said, oh, well, probably, yeah, 60 grams an hour might be good. Whereas now the science is showing like 60 grams is not enough. You kind of need to be 100, 120 grams an hour and getting your stomach and digestive system used to it. And if you can stomach that and if you can train yourself, actually the endurance effects are going to be, you're going to really gain from that, particularly over the longer courses as well. So I think that simple thing that PH have done in labeling their stuff so that you know exactly how much you're taking is quite critical. Mm. And I think when you compare it to other gels, what PH put in their gels, you know, even the 30 gram gels compared to a standard other gel, which probably only got 20, 22 grams of carbohydrate, they are far superior.
Yeah, they do cram it in. But like you say, with the information that they put out, I direct people to their website, even if they're not really sporting. I'm just like, yeah, there's some really good articles on here. You want to go and read them. Just go and read that. It is really useful. And it's a good way of bringing people in as well.
Not to get too personal, but what are your guys' numbers? How many grams per hour are you putting down?
Whoa.
If we're okay talking about this.
That is personal.
Well, it went a bit wrong for me at the Worlds because I don't know what happened, but I ended up with stomach issues and couldn't eat for about 3 hours, which obviously was a bit concerning. But after the first 3 hours, I was about 100 grams an hour.
Yeah,
wow, solid.
Still not enough, but you know.
Yeah, which is pretty high. And I mean, I try and aim for that, and Claire's the same, but probably averaged out way lower because
it was average lower.
Because 3 hours without anything. But for me, I try and push around 100 and plus if I can. Definitely look at that 90 and think, right, I need to get rid of this 90 at the, you know, if it's a 5K or a 7K run, I need to get rid of this 90 by the end of the run.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hidden thing about the 90s, which I think are good, is that they just take up so much space that you're almost forced to take in nutrition so you can, you know, make room for your dad bod, you know, if it's us. Yeah. I'm curious, so speaking of the world champs, obviously that's a super long race. You guys have done it a bunch of times and extremely successful. I think this year's time it was just over 9 hours. You guys are obviously super experienced. What's your strategy for that race? You know, this is something we ask a lot of teams because, hey, this is extremely self-serving for us as the swim runners ourselves. Ready. But I'm curious, you know, how do you think about that course, and how do you think about not just pacing, fueling, but, you know, what's your sort of game plan for a race that's that long?
Wow.
There is a game, obviously.
Yeah, there's a game plan. And I think from the first time you do it, it is about just finishing and knowing that you can get to the end. And that is crucial on the first third of just trying to stay upright and not fall over and injure yourself, and to think about it and remember it's a long way and that you just don't want to go off too quick. A lot of teams hit those first few islands a bit fast and hard, and then they pay for it come the back end of Una. And yeah, then they take a long time to get home and it's a slog. So yeah, for us, it is trying to pace it from the beginning. Although this year we went out a bit harder at the beginning just to try and stay with it. We've done it a few times now, and we know we can be a bit more competitive and try and stick with those faster teams for the first couple of swims, which paid off. And we kind of, there's not so many surprises for us, so we know what to expect on certain islands. There's the whole sort of middle section that we're still, I don't know, you get there and you're tired and you just forgotten what those islands are and they become a bit of a blur. I think for us, yeah, we probably could have gone a bit harder or faster on that area this year. We kind of missed out a little bit there. But yeah, for a lot of people, they just concentrate on Una and doing the 17K long run and saying they're going to push it and make that hard. Whereas for us, we just kind of just roll that into the whole race. It's just, and we know we're going to have to take some walking breaks and take it easy on in certain areas. So it's no different when we get to Una, and we'll just make sure that we get our breaks and just keep the pace going.
So I think it's quite key when you leave Sandham, obviously the buggy keeps a controlled speed, but you always want to be in a position where you're going to be on someone's feet and someone's feet that you trust. He's always aimed to the left-hand side of that first swim, because two-thirds in, there's like a rocky sandbank that you can kind of ground you.
Yeah, you can just get beached on it.
That's right, yeah. So you were quite keen to go the left-hand side. And this year, the frustration, because the feet he wanted, which I think was actually Greg and Bronwyn's feet you were aiming for.
I think
Greg and they went to the right, and it was like, oh, damn. And I knew Piers would be frustrated because he wanted to go to the left, but he wanted to be on their feet. So we went to the left, and that all kind of worked out. And I'm fine with that first swim, and I know it's a little bit cold, and I just quite like looking at the sunrise. You know, it's a long swim. I can't remember what it is now, nearly 2K.
It's like a mile, yeah. 100.
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You guys
miles
don't have miles over there, but.
They have miles.
We have miles. The first couple of islands are just ridiculously technical, and they are my nemesis. And I think for anyone that does want to do the World Championships, doing some kind of jumpy work, plyometrics, I would say is absolutely critical weekly in your training session, because you do not realise how much kind of jumpy stuff you're doing in the World Championships course, particularly early on, which is quite tiring before you can get into any sort of rhythm, which is probably not till about Rumoro, which is 4 hours in, before you can actually run normally on a paved road and just kind of not have to think. And by that time, you're already tired, and that you don't really want to be that tired by that stage in the run. And I think the difference this year was there'd been some storms. So perhaps on Munka, there were more trees and things down. So it was a bit more kind of scrambling and climbing than perhaps in previous years. But, you know, it counters that the weather was fantastic and the sea was
as
warm as it's ever going to be.
I mean, seriously, we were obviously out there in a media capacity. And when I was on the lead boat was Stefan, Dominic, and the race directors and whatnot. And when we got to the pig swim, we're like, this looks like the pig swim, but it doesn't look like the pig swim. Yeah. Like, everyone was just kind of shocked just how still it was. Did you guys have that? I mean, obviously, you're racing it, so you can feel it when you're in the water, but... What was it?
Long as hell, though.
What did you think when you saw it?
Well, we were really lucky because we've been a few times, there's a few people that you end up racing with and seeing at the course sometimes. And Andy Blow and Lars, when they raced together, we bumped into them. And actually, every year since, Lars has been on the course at some point and we've bumped in during the race. And it was again this year. Where did we bump into Munker. Lars? It was about Munker. Mm. And so we were racing with Lars over Munker and over some of the longer swims. And you actually swam on Lars's feet for one of the swims, didn't you? Ita gave us a good toe, which was really, really nice.
That was nice, yeah.
And that does makes it a lot easier. But I think on the pig, we were on our own, weren't we?
Well, that was when we talked about rust and making sure that we had our transitions nailed in. And I did say to Claire just before the pig swim, right, we need to nail this transition because there's like a few guys just ahead and I don't want to be on my own for the whole of the pig swim.
And I think that was Erik Kellström as well, wasn't it?
I think, so it was a Swedish team. And then we just literally got to the edge of the water and I was like, right, ready? She said, yeah, ready, jumped in. And then I'm pulling on the tow line and I'm swimming as hard as I can, not going anywhere. And Claire's, I look around, Claire's on her back doing up a wetsuit. She forgot to do her wetsuit. And these feet are slowly slipping away on the pig swim. And I'm like, no, we're going to be on our own.
I knew I was going to get a rollicking from Piers. But I was like, we need to be on their feet. But at the same time, if I freeze, and last year we basically almost DNF from hypothermia because Piers got, and I thought, pig swim's a long swim and it's cold. I'm not sure I can do this with my suit. What do I do? Do I do my suit up to make sure that we stay warm or do I get on their feet? Oh, and so I tried to do it as quick as I could and failed, but then thought I better start swimming because he's really going to go mad. And I didn't actually do my suit up. So it was wide open for the whole of the pig swim.
Wow. And he's like, hopefully the tempers subside as the meters go on. Yeah. He won't get charged up.
Luckily,
plenty of time to process it.
Hopefully he gets over this by the time we get over there.
I hope that Piers' frustration would have calmed down because it's a long swim. And we got to the end of the pig swim and we were actually with the other Swedish men's team. And when you get out of the pig swim, it's quite a climb. It's like a vertical climb on these rocks. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. And we're tied up because we hadn't managed to unhook. And the men's team, the guy behind, slid down and just fell. And he fell in between Piers and I cords. So we're now like crossed with cords. And he's going to wipe me out. So I literally grab his calves, pin him to the rocks. I'm looking up thinking, I can't go anywhere. And if I let go of this guy, we're both going to go down and take our partners with us. And literally Piers and the Swedish guy, between all four of us, had to kind of manhandle the guy that had fallen and get him back in into... And then Piers really missed his Twix, which was literally game over then for
Piers. That's devastating. That'll win the race right there.
I took a bad line and then I completely missed the Twix tray and I was like, had to shout for a Twix to get thrown at me, which was good. Yeah. But it was fun trying to get out of that. And when your legs are cold and crampy, which they are after the pig swim, it's not a great time to be tangled up in other teams.
I was, during the race, I was actually set up on top of one of those rocks there catching people as they were coming out. And when you're racing it, the whole day kind of just turns into a blur and everything's hard. So, there's certain parts that are harder, but seeing it not racing, I was like, oh my gosh, how we did this, Chris? I don't remember. It's an insane rock scramble up. I mean, you're climbing 100 meters plus getting out of there, slippery rock, and there was moss and everything. I was seeing people slipping all over the place.
It's a good opportunity for teamwork. Yeah, I saw some teams that were just like holding hands, like, it was like a conga line of people just trying to pull each other up. It's funny, like a lot of people ask us, like, oh, do you have FOMO for not racing? And I was like, yeah, probably about like 40%, but 60% was like, hey, this thing is super hard and I am not mentally ready. I did not get myself mentally ready to do this year. So it's the race is such a beast, but it's the type of thing. I mean, you guys have done this race a bunch of times. Like, what keeps you coming back to, first Monday in September to go do this?
Yeah, It's hard because I think we're in that same position right now of like, do we go again next year? Have we got enough points? But do we put our name in the hat? Those sort of thoughts are already going through our head. And it's like, why would we go back? And then sort of reflecting on this year's race, I had probably had enough after 2024. I said, this is going to be my last race. So last year, I was like, yeah, I think we could do with a break from this. And then we had a really bad, because it was the cold year, I got nearly hypothermic and had a really bad race. And then it was like, barely finished. And it was like, we need to come back now and do this one more time to do it justice. And so that's why we did this year. But then reflecting back, it's like, if we took the race out of it and said, would we go back to Sweden and do this whole trip again, just for the people, the atmosphere, the hanging out before and after the race? Yes, we would. It was like, the answer is hell yeah. So putting the race into it, yeah, it's a challenge, an amazing adventure. It's like my favorite course that I've ever done of any race. Just, I love the whole purpose of the A to B, you feel like you're getting somewhere. And the sort of the history of the race involved in that. I just, yeah, it feels like it's the right thing. And then just, yeah, there's every time you do it, there's always stories that come out of it. And yeah, we just love going back and seeing the swim run community and all the friends and spending time out in Sweden. So it's like, as a place to go, yeah, it's a pretty cool destination. So yeah, from me, from that's definitely what I'd go back for. Claire's probably more motivated to sort of more competitive than me and would go for definitely doing the race.
No, I think it's just this weird feeling that, you know, when you're in that bubble, I agree, the whole staying the night before and the night after, it's so special sharing that experience with people. But when you're on the race course and you're sharing that with somebody else and you are in the middle of the Swedish archipelago in the middle of nowhere and you just kind of get this, you know, you're away from reality, you're doing something that most people will never get to see or experience, let alone participate in. And then you can share that race course with Eric or Lars or Ben and Jonathan from X Endurance or Desi or Jenny. And spending time with those people is just incredibly special. And those like-minded people, you just don't meet that bond that you get from swim run in general life and with work. It's just, it's really, really special.
Yeah. You know, the way I always describe it, it's like going to summer camp and you just made like the best friends, you know, just had like the greatest, just made the greatest memories. And certainly like, as you mentioned, the bubble itself is such a unique thing. It's stressful for sure. Everyone shows up. It really feels, for us, it feels super international, obviously. The hardest part of the weekend is just the race, but everything around it is just so much fun. Like the camaraderie afterwards, everyone sharing war stories. It's really like this special combination of extremely fit people that are there with the same purpose of just trying to get through this course. And yeah, there really is just some about it. And I don't know if this helps you guys for next year, but next year is going to be the 20th edition of the race. And we're planning on putting our name in the hat for it, just to be a part of it. So, you know, I don't know if that helps you kind of get over the fence to, you know.
It's one more shove.
Yeah, just one more.
It's definitely a bonus seeing you guys there, and it was just great catching up this year.
One of the most random things that's in my head from this year's was all the boats, and I'm sure you were part of it. They were blaring out "Go West," and we were like rock hopping on the rocks, and the group we were with were all singing along, and it was the most bizarre experience. You know, the sun is still rising, and everyone's singing in the middle of a race.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, certainly swim run and that Atala, the world championship, is definitely no stranger to those unique things. And similar to the exit of the pig swim, what you were saying, there's two or three teams all linked up, kind of holding hands, pulling each other up, and the singing. And it really is, it's not like you mentioned at the top, there's no measuring stick. Oh, what was your Orno run split? Or what was your first? Like, it's like, did you do the thing? We all did the thing, like, let's share the experience. And I think that's really what helps kind of drive that bond with everyone. It is certainly a once in a lifetime type of experience that it's like, you know, when you're sitting at your desk Monday morning after your con race, it's like, wow, I just was running and swimming all over the place. Yeah. It's a pretty juxtaposition there.
Yeah. So yeah, they attempted to put a name in the hat again as well.
So I don't know if you remember, but at the finish line at the Worlds, we came in, and I knew that Ben Thissemeyer and his brother Jonathan were coming in after us, and Ben was Delia's partner last year. And it was lovely seeing them on the course and having a bit of a hug. And I think it was like Kolbeling or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And you said to me, don't leave your paddles. You know, your paddles and your belt are there. Do you remember that? Don't forget them. They're on the side. Well, I did forget them.
And you left them?
And I left them there.
Really?
Yeah. And I contacted Dominic to say, oh, I've left my equipment. And he was like, yeah, I've got it. But unfortunately, I was still in Sweden at the time. He's on the Ortillo cargo ship off to Ortillo Rügen.
Oh wow, okay.
I'm not sure I'm gonna make it to Rügen. And then I was trying to find people to collect it and bring it back to the UK, and basically I couldn't find anyone. And so I ended up saying to Piers, should we go to Cannes?
Yeah, you gotta get your paddles back. Is that really?
Let's go to Cannes. Piers, it was extreme to go to France, even England, to go and pick up a pair of paddles.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, she's $10.
Dominic thought it was a great idea.
So we're blaming basically Chris. This is your fault for chatting to us on the finish line, and then Claire for getting her paddles. And then that's why we ended up doing a Tulle Cannes, like another 5-hour race on the end of our season that we weren't planning on doing.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Nice. Sorry,
your,
not
was
sorry.
Was this your
I
first
guess.
Year doing?
It was
first
for me.
Okay.
But Claire's done it once before, and so it was a great course, actually. Yeah, I've not done it before, and I really enjoyed it. And it's very varied. It's very different to some of the other races that we've done, but we like warm water events, and this one, there's not many on the scene. I get kind of I've had enough of being cold, and this is a cracker. It's a really nice event, and beautiful clear water to swim in, and there's a jungle section, which is pretty wild. And just, it's a bit weird just running through the main streets, all these other people and tourists all around you, and just seeing these guys in wetsuits running through. But
Have you done Cannes or not?
No,
it's definitely up there.
It's a tough time with like our young kids, like they're in school and stuff. And certainly like 3 of the last 4 years, this is a sentence I never thought I'd utter in my life. 3 of the last 4 years, we've been in Sweden already in September when the kids start school. So it's kind of hard to justify to the family, be like, hey, we're going to pop off to the south of France for a weekend. But yeah, it's certainly on our list for everything you mentioned. It's like, it's such a unique thing where there's beach running, you swim to some random island and do some stuff there and then swim back. And then, you climb up like above the city into the forest kind of thing. It's, you're going through like pipes or something. Isn't there like some section where you're like kind of crawling through something?
It sounds awesome. And the Hall of Fame, for the Cannes Film Festival. And you're like, all the people that come along this are on black tie or posh and wearing, wetsuits. The looks that we got was just like bizarre. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's a cool venue. It's a good place to get to. It's easy enough from the UK and most of Europe to fly into Nice. It's quite a central hub.
Europeans.
The city itself in Cannes is quite easy for like accommodation, and you're close to the beach. So it's a fun weekend for everyone, and you can bring family and wives and girlfriends, and it's all cool. So it's a nice place.
On the island, you're running alongside monks, and then you're swimming over these giant-sized statues, and then you're literally coming down this jungle pipeline that's actually really quite technical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Back down into the sea. And then when you get to the sea, there's so many fish. There's just thousands of fish everywhere.
Wow.
It's really beautiful. It surpassed your expectations, actually. You thought it was going to be perhaps not one of the best Ertila races, but well up there as one of the favorites.
Cool.
Nice.
So cafe, people are over there, croissant and cigarette in the morning, and you're just going by...
Yeah, exactly.
If that was us, Chipper, we'd have to pull in for a couple of them just for
Can we get a little quick
get your fingers in? Well, that's it. I mean, it's a month after being in Sweden, so you need to top up on your pastries and your fika.
I think there is a picture of a couple of swim runners that had stopped at a coffee stand getting their fika in the middle of the race.
We would stop. If there was a camera to take a picture, we would definitely stop. If there wasn't one, we would keep going. But if there was a camera there, we would do it just to get the good picture.
Yeah, we'd have to bring our credit card with us in our kit, so we can pull up and just...
Do you take Apple Pay, like pause your Garmin and then do the Apple Pay?
Yeah.
That's a good tip. Like, on some of our swim run adventures that we did in the summer, we just took a credit card with us. You can only take so much nutrition, but when you're sort of halfway through a 4-hour training session and there's a little cafe or shop, we buy a Coke and a pastry or something. And that just keeps you going for the next couple of hours. So, that's our latest top tip.
Definitely well, you know, in our old triathlon days, when we used to do like our 8 hour, 6 hour Saturday bike rides, we would always try to go pick out a course, whether it be strategic, kind of pastry shop or some sort of coffee stop, like halfway or equidistant from what we were doing, so that we could have the fuel to come back. And sometimes, you know, the training would just be ruined because we would spend like 45 minutes to an hour having tons of pastries and pizza and stuff like that. Muffins, and somehow have to get back on the bike to make it back. But, you know, that's kind of what makes it fun. If you guys had to rank your favorite swim run events, I think we could just give world champs. We can just exclude that one from the list, that's kind of like its own category. What have been your favorite events that you guys have raced together?
I think for different reasons, As Keen as Mustards are one of my top events. I think they are so organized and supportive and attention to detail. And I think for grassroots, getting people into the sport, I can't think of a better event organizers. They are like the best of the best.
They are great humans.
They are, Nikki and Chelsea. I think for spectacular scenery, unfortunately, Isles of Scilly and Hvar in Croatia, those two races aren't on anymore, but they both were Attilo races.
Yeah, they'd be up there, definitely.
But I think the Isles of Scilly is making a comeback, because I think Wes Swain is doing something. He lives over there, and he's got quite a few races that he's put forward for this year. There's a huge race calendar in the Scilly 60. So that could be one for our hit list.
To go back to. I think other ones that we've done there, I love what they do down in Cornwall, Mad Hatter. And unfortunately, it didn't happen this year, but the Roseland course, which is an A to B race where you feel like you're getting somewhere, it's like all the way along this beautiful coastline on the Cornwall coast. And that's a long course, and it's a hard course, but it's beautiful swimming. And you're along these cliffs on this coastal path. So, I mean, that would be a highlight. And then
Dave Trehane's ice swim run over in Dorset, Studland, which is near the Precision Hydration.
Yeah, Studland.
He has done amazingly well. His events are sold out. There's 400 plus people at those events.
We have an open invite to that race, and it's just a matter of like trying to line it up. Hang out with PFH folks.
Prioritizing European travel schedule.
About stunning natural beauty, isn't it? It's just the most picturesque, stunning coastline. It's well worth the trip.
Definitely. I mean, we've been talking about that we need to do like a UK, almost like the Beatles. Yeah. Like instead of an American invasion, we need to do our UK swim run invasion and just like try to line it up so we can be there for 2 weeks and try to do like four races or something. Cause we want to do as Keen as Mustard event if possible. We'd love to do Studland or one of the Mad Hatter. Like we swim run, like love to do a race in Wales. You know, like there's so many events for so many people we've chatted with that it'd be just so much fun.
Swim run ones as well with Mike Alexander. He from the Wales and the Liverpool in terms of the Eliminator, those races are pretty amazing as well. And Mike's an awesome guy.
Yeah,
he is.
He's a podcaster now too, you know.
Well, would love to hear a little bit about the UK swim run scene. I mean, I love the innovation from the race director perspective. I know As Keen as Mustard's kind of doing this like backyard, front yard, eliminator style. You know, We Swim Run also has one of that. So like kind of some more unique race styles that we don't have those styles in the States. Would love to hear kind of some of the racing styles in the UK and just the swim run scene in general.
You literally did the Survivor for As Keen as Mustard 2 weeks ago, the week before Cannes, didn't you?
It was a fun event, and I've done it, I think, for the last 3 years. They've run the Survivor, and it's a fun format, and it's great as both an introduction and for the more experienced, because if it's your first time, you can still aim to see, right, I'm going to try and do at least three or four laps. The way they set it up, it's a 2.5K lap, so you can quickly say, right, I should be able to do 10K, I'm going to try and aim to do 10K or whatever you want to do. And then if you're staying in for the longer, then obviously the time comes down, so you're more likely to get knocked out. But if you do the full event, I think you're up to sort of 12 laps or something like that. So it equates to a lot. You end up doing 30K, so it becomes quite a long race. But you can pace it at the beginning and make sure you get your recovery and a bit of rest and not go out too quick. For me, it was only, I think, about 2 weeks after the World Champs. So I just took it pretty easy for the first few laps and just trying to conserve energy. And there was some good athletes there. So we had a good head to head at the end and managed to just get away with the win. And I was the last one standing. So it was,
those early laps are really important because rather than racing, it's kind of like a mass training session. You can actually stay all together, which helps to that community spirit because everyone's going at a reasonable pace because the time limit is quite generous for the first two laps, I would say. It's only laps three and four that it starts to come down that you've got to work a bit.
Yeah, it spins it on its head. You normally wouldn't get to race with certain people because of a different ability, but actually for the first few laps, you're racing with people you don't normally race with and you can chat and enjoy yourselves. So yeah, we really quite like that sort of style. And then obviously you still get your racing element when it comes down to the final laps when you're going flat out. It's the same, the Eliminator style in Liverpool where it's quite,
on the docks.
It's spectator friendly. So you can see everything going on and brings other people just watching the event. Those sort of races are different, but they're not my favorite. I do prefer the long courses and just that adventure feeling.
To bring people into the sport, I think they're probably better to do that.
Yeah, they really help grow the sport, I think. So yeah. Good to get a few more of those. We have got some in the UK. We have some races in the Lake District and down on Garon, so South Wales and North Wales. So we've got some
Gritty Rascals, Gary Pavitt.
So we've got some pretty cool locations. Not so many of the sort of island style island hopper races. Scilly was the only one the way you can do that, really. Generally, there's a lot more coastal events or around lakes.
Lake District between fells, that's pretty stunning, and you couldn't get much more stunning than
that. Coniston is a stunning course, and we used to have the Brecca Buttermere course. That old course used to be a stunning course as well across the Lake District. So yeah, it's another one that we'd recommend, and it's something a bit different that you might not get elsewhere, and that's more similar to Engadin, I suppose. Not quite as high in altitude, but in terms of scenery, and swimming in the lakes is pretty cool.
He's going to be cross with me, but Gieslan, he's the one of the athletes in the Railway to Otillo that was at the World Champs, and he came no aeroplanes, just like railways. He actually came to Coniston via Eurostar and entered all the railways, and I think he was blown away at how beautiful Coniston Gritty Rascals race was. He was going to go away and tell everyone in France, like, you've got to come for this race.
Nice. And here's how much the ticket costs to take the...
here's how much the train,
You know what race I don't even know if it's still going on, but the race in Jersey, that one looks like really cool. I know it used to be a Brecca race, and I think someone else started
revived it.
I don't know if that race is still happening, but for years that race was like, oh yeah, that looks, I didn't even know that place existed.
So that is still going. We've never actually done it, only because it is literally, so the Worlds is on the Monday, and then that race is on the following weekend. And for us, it's just... Not possible. But we've been to Jersey. We've done some training on Jersey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, pretty stunning too.
Yeah, it's a cool destination. Mm. Yeah, I'd recommend that one there. Yeah. Although really strong tides. So if you go training there, just watch the tides. Because we ended up trying to do a 1K swim and it took us like 45 minutes to an hour, and we were like, why, we're not going anywhere, we're just swimming in the same spot,
and it's like on a treadmill or something.
Yes. Be careful of the tides if you go training there.
That's too funny. So looking forward to, I'm assuming you guys are going to take an off season here pretty soon and recover. What does that look like for you guys? And then what is the race calendar? I know it's early days, but what are you guys thinking for next year?
I think for the interim, normally, okay, so now we're fully committed to swim run. We don't tend to cycle bikes very often, but we actually went out this morning on our road bikes, and we're probably, this is fourth time this year. Over the next few weeks, we might just be cycling a bit more, just keep the body moving and just sort of slowly winding down and have a bit of a break. For me, through the winter, I tend to try and pick a spring marathon as a target to get my sort of running into shape. So I'll train for either the London Marathon or a longer running race in sort of April time. And that just kind of gives me something to focus on and keep me running through the winter. And then swimming less so. It's harder for us to swim in the winter. We've got a local pool. It's an outdoor pool, but it's not heated in the winter. They keep it open, but we're not into cold dipping. And we,
not that brave. I get it.
Yeah. Same. So, we probably don't start up in the swim training till sort of springtime, sort of April, May time. And then
in November, basically, we don't really do much. We keep moving, but nothing particularly structured. Running tends to drop off a little bit. We'll still run a couple of times a week, but just to let the body fully recover. And then December, we'll start training again and building back up that mileage. But I think we did different last year, which I think we'll continue with. We actually did some proper gym sessions with weights. And I think that was critical for this year's performances and how we've done. So we'll definitely continue with that. And I don't know, but we did an early race this year with the Gorge de Verdon, the part of the Swim Run Man. And we well, it's cold, but actually we really enjoyed that race.
Yeah.
So we might potentially go back to that one next year as well. And we always said with Mr. and Mrs. B, actually, that we should get a group to go over to one of your races in America and get a group of the UK lot to go over and enjoy one of them. And I did say to Nargis when we were at the Worlds, which out of all the American races is the best one to do, which is the favourite? And she said Orcas Island. So I don't know what you guys think.
Orcas is amazing, and I know she would say that because she's like the queen.
I knew she was going to say that.
Yeah.
She's like, which one do I win every time? Orcas is my favorite.
Yeah. I think certainly Casco Bay is probably the easiest one for you guys to get to. It's a short, you know, short-ish flight. That one's great. Orcas is certainly great. I think if you're looking for a unique kind of like quintessential American race, I mean, we don't have that many. I would say Catalina for sure in terms of level of difficulty, but again, that was just a little bit farther away for you guys. I know Mr. and Mrs. B came out and did Austin a few years ago now, and that one, Austin's great. We love Austin. We've done it every single year, but in terms of level of difficulty, you guys would probably come and be like, maybe we should just go do another lap of the whole course kind of thing. But super fun. And we just did this Colorado race, which was the first time they did it. Was it
that was last weekend already?
Yeah, it was last weekend. And that one was really hard, like with the elevation and everything. It was a lot of swimming. It was an interesting challenge. And also like one of these races where it's just like swimrun can just take you to some really random places. And here you are in like some random lake reservoir in Colorado, and it's amazing. The swimming's great, and you're climbing on up mountains and things like that. It's just extremely random, but super fun. But yeah, I would say Orcas would be up there for me too.
Yeah, cool. Orcas, Casco for sure. Catalina. I mean, we're going to say them all, but yeah, I would say Orcas, Casco, Catalina. Ease of arrival for you all, definitely Casco. And it is point to point, so you do have that element.
Yeah, it's really the only one that's similar in European style.
More European style.
Like island to island.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we were chatting to Greg and Bronwyn and they were saying similar. So we'll look to get those into our calendar. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, we have been to Tâmega in Portugal previous years. That was a cool race. I think Gorges de Verdon was better than I expected because I'd seen the social media photos of everyone looking freezing cold and it didn't really appeal, but it is slightly later in the season now. I think they moved it back a few weeks and yeah, it was a fun race to do. So it'd be cool to go back out there. I mean, actually it was Desi's fault that we did this year. But she did the ultra, the long one, but we just did the classic. And the classic is fun because it's really competitive. It was like a French national championship. So you get a good crowd of people doing it. So yeah, I think that one could be back on the cards for next year.
Nice. And then what are you guys going to decide if you're going to put your, I guess, you know, you still have time, but you going to come with us? The World
Cup till February.
Yeah. So it's the wild card entry for previous contend, it's open now, so we could go for the wild card or just put in our points. We're very tempted, so it could be a case of
3-2-1. Just say yes, no. What would you say?
Yeah, we got 3-2-1. Go.
3-2-1. Yes.
Love it.
I figured.
Love it. Well, you know, I can't think of a better place to end this conversation. We just convinced you guys to do Worlds. This is awesome. We'll see you there, hopefully.
To the internet. You're going to be there.
It's happening now, so we're good. Claire and Pierce, thank you guys for coming on the show. It was really great, too. You know, you guys have always been super kind to us, and we always had a fun chin wag whenever we would see you. The two times we saw you in person, we really connected, and so great to get you guys on the show finally.
Yeah.
Well, we're honored. Thank you very, very much.
It's been real fun. Thanks.
Yeah. We should have used chin wag more than just now, Chris. So
that's true. That's true.
Now we have two instances. Yeah.
Yes.
But
these are things we learned from Mike. It's like, oh, yeah, let's have like a proper chin wag. We're like, okay.
Like, oh, yeah.
What? Okay. Noted.
We've done it.
Cool.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a wet rating or review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Check out our website, lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z, for swim run resources, including gear guides, tips, how-to videos, and so much more. Make sure to check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, send us a DM or email us at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music and, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run and other activities.
Lots of activities.
Lots of activities.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Then a run.
And then a swim.
Then another run.
Then another swim.
Then run some more.
Just keep going.
Let's go.
And then stop at some point because, you know.
And fuel. Don't forget to fuel.
Gotta fuel too.
Of course, yes. I don't want to see you.